Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear, my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun, so call me Pharaoh now.
Damn.
That's just some food for thought, so take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green.
Damn.
Money over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
Damn.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God,
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask them.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin.
I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him.
This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses, damn.
I'm tired of all my people, see that's niggas with no action plan.
And I didn't choose to rap, he just fell into a backup plan.
So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When they looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us? Cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Robux, and you can't hold us down. We hold the crown for majors before us, and though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did. I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up, cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms.
All right. I don't participate inside of these pretty little prisms, PRISM. My brothers and my sisters, welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Wednesday, March the 29th of 2017, and the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today, and as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you, and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the Word of God, the Word of Yahuwah and His Son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, got a very important question as we're going down this new line of thought or thinking. We want to talk about how my niche is to help you find your niche. But we want to come with it from a perspective of what, wow, man, it's so humbling to be in my skin, to realize that there's this thing called grace and mercy, that despite all of my flaws, despite all of my mistakes, that God still finds worth and value, that I still have a place. I have not been put out to pasture like a lot of people would like for me to be. It's interesting how when you're a bad guy, when you have bad behavior, and you do bad things and you hurt a lot of people, and underneath the bad guy image or persona, there's a good guy. But nobody can see the good guy because of the bad guy image. Because of the mistakes that you've made, because of the flaws that's inside of your thinking, because of the unconscious ruling dispositions that's inside of your life, because of the fact that you, I don't care how much you want to do the right thing, you can't because you have to detox your spiritual body. Limiting beliefs exist because there is valid valid evidence that supports that limited belief. So let me make sure you understand when we're talking about your niche. How to find your niche. Now, your niche is the thing that supports your dream. Your niche is the thing that supports your destiny. Your niche is the thing that supports your dear Kinnear. I need to acknowledge my wife. Thank you, babe, for tuning in again on today's show. And I love my wife. And the reason I love my wife is because regardless of what I've done or not done, regardless of my flaws, my wife still loves me in spite of myself. Now, if there's anybody listening to the sound of my voice that has a reason to put a bullet in my head, and justifiably so, it's my wife. I've done things and I've said things that you can't do and you can't say. And there's no amount of apologies, no amount of words, no amount of nothing that I could do. So it's by the grace and the mercy of God that I still am married today, and I can call Dee my wife. So one of the things that spawned my book, Claironomics, was the fact that I did not know, I could not break the conditioning and the programming of my unconscious brain. I couldn't figure it out. No matter what I did, that feeling, that emotion kept overpowering me. I didn't have entheos or enthusiasm. I was a good guy, but I wasn't the best guy. I didn't know how to overcome my oppression. I didn't know how to get out of my own way. I did not know, brothers and sisters, how to oscillate or violate or become a single standing column of waveform energy. I did not know how to remove my core imprint. I didn't know how to find the family liar, my familiar spirit that was passed down to from my father, his father, his father's father. I had good intentions. But the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And there was no excuse for my behavior. That I can't sit up here and justify lying and cheating and everything that I did specifically to my wife. There is no excuse, brothers and sisters, none. So when I had to take ownership of my behavior, that means I need to figure out how to modify it. There was no therapist, there was no book, there was no psychologist, there was no religious, there was nothing that asked me. I had to figure out how to replace my coping mechanism with my life-sustaining pattern. I had to figure out how to stop producing pain that led to pleasure. I had to figure out how to be my authentic self and to get out of my selfish self. This obsession with myself. But nobody could tell me. Everybody could say, yeah, dude, you're self-absorbed. But nobody could tell me how to stop being self-absorbed. I could not make a concrete decision. Because every time I made a decision, I went back on it. So I destroyed the faith and the trust that my wife had in me. Because I thought I had a faulty belief system. Now, I came a long way, brothers and sisters, with what I know. And then I got to a brick wall. Now, I'm not the man I used to be. I've made a lot of great gains, but I wasn't the man. And I'm still not living up to my full potential. So I had to identify and remove my limiting beliefs. See, we all make decisions on how we feel instead of on what's real. So I've been living from a place of feelings, not from a place of realization. So I had to stop living from my feelings. I had to stop allowing my feelings to control me. Because today I feel like I love you. Tomorrow I may feel like I don't. And it's those days when I don't feel you that I go outside of you. Or that's what I did in my relationships. The day I don't feel like working, I didn't go to work. That's why I've had 63 plus jobs. The day I don't feel like being spiritual is the day I don't be spiritual. So I had to stop living from my feelings. But nobody could tell me how to stop being reactionary and be pro-actionary. And so I was a dude that was very emotional. Even though it seemed on the outside like I wasn't, my emotions was controlling my life. I was living, brothers and sisters, from my emotions. I was an emotional dude. And my emotions was kicking my butt. I had to try to figure out how to make small decisions every day and take small steps every day. See, success doesn't happen overnight. There's no such thing. People see people who are successful, and they say, oh, that dude was an overnight success. Really? Go talk to his children and talk to his wife. He's been sleeping in his car. He's been damn near suicidal. I love reading like Hollywood's like true stories that used to come out. And I remember the first time I heard the Jim Carrey story, and Mariah Carey's story, and Jamie Foxx's story, Kurt Franklin. Man, he was an orphan. Have you ever read the stories behind how these overnight success people became successful? Now, you and I think it was, ooh, Jamie Foxx just blew up overnight. No. Read the stories, brothers and sisters. Read the stories. You see, when you decide to really truly become authentic, that means you got to live in the now. That means you got to stop and you got to get out of your feelings and you got to get into reason and logic or the word. The word of God is the only thing that doesn't change. God says heaven and earth would pass away before one jot or one tittle of his word returns void. See, success happens when you make quick, decisive, small decisions every day, every second. See, things that are easy to do are also easy not to do. Let me say that again, brothers and sisters. Life is just not about me. It's about we. I had to stop living for myself and I had to start living for us. So I have a life journal specifically for my relationship. And every day I have to do things to put in my life journal because I'm a talker. I talk a good game, but I don't do shiznits. So I have to focus. I got to have discipline and I got to have order. Because see, you're never going to feel ready. So you have to always make a decision, a concrete decision. That is your job, brothers and sisters, is to push yourself, is to trust yourself, is to trust your gut. And every decision is going to be a tough decision. The question, my brothers, that you got to ask yourself is the question, the first question of the 15 questions that you have to ask yourself in order to be yourself. 15 questions. Now, I've been talking about wealth, health, wisdom, and relationships. That's the wrong thing. I should be talking about the foundation to wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship. So that's what I'm going to start doing. So I've been telling you to be wealthy, to be healthy, to be wise, and to be a great relationship. That's great. But everything starts with a blueprint or a pattern or a niche. So I need to make sure that you understand, my brothers, that all of my successes came after I made a very, very, very small decision. See, the Bible says it this way, that if you are faithful over the little, I can trust you with the much. See, I've been focusing on the much and bunk the little. See, I just been focusing on like doing one big thing for my wife instead of doing small things every day. Instead of one big thing a month, I need to make deposits. See, life is like a bank account. Wealth is like a bank. So if you departmentalize, you have four banks. You have a bank of money, a wealth. You have a bank of health and nutrition. You have a bank of wisdom, knowledge, and religion or spirituality. You have a bank of relationship with God. You got a bank of relationship with yourself. You got a bank of relationship with your spouse or your mate. You got a bank of relationship with your children. You got a bank of relationship with others. So let me ask the question. How much money have you deposited into your bank accounts? And you're wondering why you are bankrupt. Well, let me rephrase that. I was wondering why I was bankrupt. See, all suffering is the result of obsession of self. I've been putting money in my own bank, but I didn't put no money in my wealth bank account. I didn't put no money in my health bank account, or very little. I didn't put no money in my wisdom bank account, or very little. And I didn't put no money in my relationship bank account, or I put very little. And then more importantly, I never even set the bank account up. So I'm trying to build something without knowing something. See, the body has limitations, but the mind doesn't. So if you're not mentally ready, you're not physically prepared. If you're not mentally ready, you're not physically prepared. So who do you spend time with mentally? Who do you spend time with mentally, sister? So let me make sure you understand that, because, see, I had to flip the script in order to change my life. So now I focus, I put discipline, and I put order in the areas of wealth, health, wisdom, and relationships. And I flip the script so now that my relationship is first, my health is second. Or my God, or I should say my wisdom is second. Then my health is third. And my money is last. Now, I've done that for everybody that has a Dear Kenny report. It's called your life optimization chart. That's why I flipped the script. Because I was going one way, wealth, health, wisdom, relationships. So now I make a deposit in my relationship bank account first. That includes all areas of relationship, starting with my relationship with God, my relationship with myself, my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my children, my relationship with my brothers and sisters, coworkers, on down the line. Number one. Number two, I focused on my wisdom, my spirituality. Number three, I focused on my health. Number four, I focused on my wealth. So I'm making deposits, but I'm making deposits. That's why I got this calendar, and I write shizness down on that calendar. So that way, every day, I make sure. I'm not leaving it to chance, because the Bible says, take the vision, make it plain, write it down, make it plain so that those that see it can run with it. So I'm going to ask you to do the same thing, brothers and sisters, if you want to optimize your life, if you want to find your niche. Niche building and niche finding is what I do. It's not, again, let me rephrase that. It's not what I do, it's who I be. So I'm good at what I be, because God designed me to be a niche finder, a niche builder. Now, I've been building temples. Now, the way for me to build your temple is, and the way for you to build your temple is, and the way for you, again, to have a great relationship with God, a great relationship with yourself, a great relationship with your wife or your husband, a great relationship with your children and with others. Let's talk one area today, relationships. So I'm in the process of building a toe-curling relationship. So I'm going to ask myself this question. Now, there are 15 questions that I'm going to put inside of a book. And everybody that supported the Clarinomics will go through this, and I will send you that book. And we're going to go through this because we're going to give you, I'm going to make sure, I'm not going to leave it to chance. I'm not just going to tell you to have a great relationship. I'm going to demonstrate to you how to build a great relationship. See, now this is what I do. I ask myself this one question every morning. If there was no limitations or if there was no negative consequences for your actions, what would you be, or who would you be being? What would you be doing? What would you be having for a perfect marriage? A perfect relationship if you're not married. And put that, or ask that question for the primary three. Now, there's a plethora of relationships that you have, but number one, relationship with God. So what would you do if there was no limits and there was nothing, there was no negative consequences? What would your perfect relationship with God look like? Mine? I would be standing face to face with the one and only, the big G. I would be like the 24 elders that stand at his feet and they cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." I would cast my crown at his feet. I would sit at the table with God, not on the floor beneath God. And I would ask, seek, and knock. I would give reverence and homage. I would be grateful. I would have an I would thank him for his grace and mercy. I would thank him for being there for me when Sister X was hitting me with that metal pipe. I would thank him for being there for me, even though I didn't see him, even though I didn't know he was there, even though I thought he wasn't. I would ask him for his for forgiveness for doubting him. And I would thank him for being here with me right now. What would your perfect day be with God? And what about yourself? If there was no limitations, if there was no negative consequences, what would your relationship with yourself look like? How would you treat yourself? Would you beat yourself up? Would you call yourself a loser? Would you call yourself average? Would you tell yourself that you are worthless, no good for nothing, that you're not good enough, you're not worthy, that you don't measure, that you don't amount to nothing? All of the thoughts that you're telling yourself today, would you tell yourself that? I don't think so, brother. If, now again, this is hypothetical. But if there was no limitations and there was no negative consequences, how would you treat yourself? Would you beat yourself up because, would you allow yourself to do? Would you not take time to be with? Would you punish? Would you accept? How, brothers and sisters, if there's no limits and there's no negative consequences, no negative consequences, think about that for a moment. And then the smoking gun, the last question in the area of relationships. So I asked myself this question to myself. If there was no limits and no negative consequences, what would a perfect marriage look like in my head? And a perfect marriage is, in my head would be, my wife would know. She wouldn't have to guess. She wouldn't have to ask anybody. She wouldn't have to pray. She would never feel like she's not number one. She would know, based upon my thoughts, based upon my feelings, based upon my actions, that there is nobody more important on earth or under the earth more important than her. That she would be the number one woman in my life. That's what my marriage would look like. If there was no limits and no negative consequences, what would I do? My wife would have the biggest rock on her finger that I could freaking find that wouldn't break her wrist. She would drive the best car. She would wear the finest clothes. She would drink and bathe in the best, rarest water. We'd be in a perpetual state of vacation. She would never work for another man in her life. She would know that she's my freaking queen. She's my everything. I would care for her. I would validate her. Support her. I would show her how sorry I am for all the mistakes. If I could erase her memory, I don't even think I would do it. Because I would not want to erase the bad. Because I want to always let her know how much I fought and what I've overcome and what I am willing to do. So that way she knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is nobody that's more important than her. If there was no limits, if there was no negative consequences, brothers and sisters, none, I would make sure that I would listen to my wife without judging her. That I would listen without offering solutions. That I would listen without trying to freaking fix it. That sometimes I know that she just wants to be heard. She already knows what to do. She got the brain, and her brain works freaking better than mine. I would make sure that I listen and I shut up and freaking sit down and listen. I would want to show her. I would not want to talk about how much I care about her like I'm doing now. I would do actions that prove how much I care about her. I would acknowledge her right to have rights. I would acknowledge her right to have space. I would acknowledge her right to feel the way that she feels because it is justified after going through the emotional combat that she's been through in a freaking emotional war zone from living with a fool like me. I would support her. I would cherish her. I would validate her. I would adore her. I would make her feel special every freaking day. I would accept and confirm her beliefs. And I would let her know that there is no one on earth that I would rather live my life with. See, in the military, there's one question that they ask you in the military. In the military, before you get promoted to the senior ranks, they ask your fellow soldiers, at least in the Marine Corps, would you trust or would you want to be in a foxhole dug in the ground behind enemy lines with this person? I don't know if you know anything about the military. I don't know if you've ever been in the military. I don't know if you understand anything about combat. I don't know if you know what it means when I say behind enemy lines. That means that basically y'all going to die. There's no, the enemy has overran your position and you're in a foxhole and you're pointing east. The other person is pointing west. He got your back. You got his back. You got to trust that his marksmanship and his aim and his courage is going to keep him in that foxhole when 100 people is rushing him and he can't get them all. But he got to protect your back. So he's going to get as many of them as he can. That's how you find your niche. That's just one. One of 15 questions to help you find your niche, to cut the cord with your negative habit pattern. To allow colostrum to be released in your brain so that way it releases in theos. See, my niche is to help you find your niche because, see, I found my niche. This is a call to action, brothers and sisters. So that way you can have what you want. See, I told my wife today, and I tell her every day, I don't give a damn what I got to do. If I got to swim the Atlantic Ocean, if I got to cross the Sahara Desert, if I got to do whatever I got to do, and I'm going to do those things to build our marriage and to heal the pain and the scars and the damage that I've caused. Because I'm going to make sure that she knows she's number one. I'm going to show her that I care with my actions, not with my words. I'm going to let her know that I understand, I respect, I validate, I'm devoted. I respect, I trust, I admire, and I appreciate. That is how a perfect marriage looks. So I'm going to ask you the question again, brothers and sisters, because, again, how do you find your niche? What is a niche? Now, let me make sure you understand, because do you know that your niche is your authentic self? That's your niche. Do you know that your niche is not something that you do? It's not a freaking job. It's not no career. My niche is not being a master teacher. My niche is not being a didactic teacher. My niche is not being a wealth builder. My niche is not being a freaking personal trainer. My niche is not being a nutritionalist. My niche is not being an espouser of esoteric knowledge. My niche is not being a licensed and ordained minister. My niche is not being a life coach. My niche is not even being a husband. My niche, your niche, is to replace the selfish, egotistical, false self with the true, authentic, real self. That's your niche. Your niche is not something you do. Your niche is something that you be. When you can embrace the world through the mindset, not through your eyeset or your eyesight. Let me make sure you understand, my brother and sister, because, see, you are reacting, like me, with your feelings. That's through your eyesight. See, your eyesight only use one of your five senses, your eyes. But your mind sight uses all five, really six. Your sixth sense is your intuition. So let me make sure you understand, my brothers and sisters, your niche. In order to fulfill your niche, you need the three D's. Women, y'all know what a triple D is? You need the triple D's. You need to have triple D's. Number one, you need to have a dream. That dream is also your destiny. And that destiny is based upon your dear Kinnear, the three D's. See, those three D's allows you, your destiny, your dream, and your dear Kinnear is being your true authentic self, which awakens and empowers the three D's. So in order for the three D's to be activated in your life, and the three D's make up your niche, your dream, your destiny, your dear Kinnear activates you and awakens you from your sleep state. See, right now you are unconscious, but in order to be unconscious, you have to go from your dead self to your spiritual self, from your selfish self to your spiritual self. See, you cannot be your true authentic self without becoming intimate with God, intimate with yourself, intimate with your mate. You got to know all three of them intimately. Intimately. Now you need to understand, my brothers and sisters, that right now, whatever your workload is, you need to reduce your workload, and you need to increase your faith load. See, if you reduce your workload and increase your faith load, you're going to increase your fun load. If you increase your fun load, you're going to increase your fulfillment load, which is going to increase your freedom load. That's going to allow you to flourish. That's going to allow you to finance. And that's going to allow you to finish. So those seven F's are all the result of you reducing your workload. Now, I'm talking about your physical work. I'm talking about your mental work as well, meaning that right now you're busy, and you make sure that you're busy because that's your coping mechanism. That allows you to cope, especially when you're living with a fool like me. Now, my wife works a lot of overtime. Now, she tells herself, well, but babe, I'm working because of, you know, we can use the money. But see, I know subconsciously or unconsciously she works to soothe the pain that I've caused. Why are you working like a madman or a mad woman? See, the enemy wants you to get on the treadmill of life, and he uses fools like me to produce an environment of stress that you got to leave. So my job is to acknowledge my contributions to that, take responsibility and ownership, and to provide and protect, provide and protect. See, I met my wife, and know what my dream day was? I wanted a student to save. I wanted to a client to instruct. So I remember the first time I went to my wife's apartment, great apartment, but in my brain, I needed to save. I needed to create a better environment. Now, she never asked. I just assumed. Why did I assume that? It's called a God complex. Now, if you're a 6 or 33, you know what I'm talking about. You got the same dis-ease. See, 33s and 6s, we got a big problem because everybody's beneath us in our brains. Don't believe me? Ask your mate. They feel like you think you are always right. I could be my wife on it right now and she'll tell you, yep. What made me think my wife needed saving? Just that thought. I don't give a damn if she was homeless or on the street. What made me think that I'm in the position to save anybody? Hey, I can't even save myself. But in my $2 brain, at that time, I thought, so I didn't build my marriage or my relationship on two equal people. I built my marriage and my relationship on priest and peasant, upon a superior. I have this area, this thought, this superiority complex. That's called ego. It's false self. That's why I couldn't find my niche. See, God resists the proud, but he'll give grace to the humble. I've been an arrogant, cocky prick. That's why I can never find my niche. See, the niche, brothers and sisters, by definition, is not a thing that you do. It's a thought that you maintain. The niche means, in order for you to find your niche, you need to back off the gas pedal of work. Now, let me make sure you understand what that means. Because I'm not telling you to quit your job, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you to take your intellectual capacity out of your job, to reduce it. So that way you can have more intellectual real estate, mind space, to increase the 7 F's. It is your job, my brothers and sisters, to under, over, and understand what I've done to find my niche. And I, again, all oppression, depression, and possession is the product of an overconsumption of selfishness, all suffering. Now, you may not understand because maybe you may not be at the point where I'm at, but your true authentic self is buried underneath your work self. So every day, the more time you spend at work is the more time you spend being fake. Because there's a hat that you put on when you go to work, which is not the same hat that you put on when you're at home. You need to reduce your work hat and increase your home hat. So by reducing your workload, 10%, 20%, 5%, whatever is good for you, you increase, again, your faith load. That faith load. When you start putting that faith, when you start putting more energy and more time into faith, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You're putting energy into your hopes. Now, what do you hope? What do you hope? What are you hoping for, women? What are you hoping for, men? I'm hoping for a good relationship. I'm hoping for a good marriage. So if I can put 10%, 20%, 30%, 40%, 50% more energy into my hope, if I can just put a little bit more energy in, but how I got to take it out because I'm maxed out. I'm 100%. If you were to put your life inside of a pie and you were to divide it into sections of how you spend your time, brother, how you spend your time, sister, your time and your money is an indication of where your worth and your value is. Your time, how you spend your time and how you spend your money is an indication to me of your worth and your value. So let me ask you the question, brother. Let me ask you the question, sister, mentally. How much time and energy do you spend thinking about your mate? Don't answer that question out loud. Don't tell your mate. How much time, brother, how much time, sister, do you spend thinking and doing shizness for your mate? Well, I got a calendar, and I write down how much time I spend. And I make damn sure I spend the same or as much time thinking about and doing stuff for my mate as I do for myself. Why? Because I want to answer the question. The number one question of the 15 questions that you got to ask to find your niche. If there was no limitations, if there was no negative consequences, what would a perfect marriage look like? With an area of relationship. Hey, what about an area of wisdom? If there was no limitations, if there was no negative consequences, what would a perfect wisdom, knowledge, spiritual person look like? Who do you consider spiritual? Like for me, easy, Yahushua. If I had no limits and no negativity, no negative consequences, I'll be just like Yahushua. So what does that mean? That's my niche. That's my goal. So if I wanted to say, if I had to ask that question, if I had no limits, no negativity, what would a perfect marriage, what would my marriage look like? Like I told you guys, I would be the provider and the protector spiritually, emotionally, financially, nutritionally for my wife and my children. So my wife would not work unless she wanted to. My wife would not have a care in the world about her protection unless she wanted to. Because anybody that looked at her wrong would have to go through me first. You know, I'm not trying to take the head off. My wife would know. She would not wonder where I'm at and what I do, and she would know. My wife would never have no cortisone releasing out of her body. There would never be a feeling in her brain. The brain would not have the capacity to feel, because I would be doing things that's real. My actions would speak so loud that my words you could barely hear. My wife would know that she's loved. She would know that I care. She would know that I understand. She would know that I respect. She would know that I admire. She would know that I adore. She would know that I worship the ground that she walks on. She wouldn't have to be sitting there like she is right now wondering, I wonder if my husband really loves me. Because I planted negative seeds, brothers and sisters, I got negative plants. But guess what? If my actions work that way negatively, also work that way positively. According to the law of polarity, whatever degree that the pendulum swings to the left, degree the pendulum has the potential to swing to the right. So since I've done a lot of negative shiznits, I have the potential to do a lot of positive shiznits. So guess what? I'm on it. I'm on the job 24/7, 365. Because I understand my potential. And you have that same potential. All you got to do is acknowledge, reduce, and manifest. You have to, my brothers and sisters, increase your productivity using the law of exponentiality. Now, there are many shows on the law of exponentiality. This is one of the most powerful realizations on earth. Everything increases exponentiality or exponentially. It's called the law of 10, 10 times 10. Now, let me make sure you understand, my brothers and sisters, because forget the law of exponentiality. It doesn't matter how much it returns to you. Whatever you put in is what you get out. But see, most of us, we live a selfish life. We are self-obsessed. We are self-absorbed. So all of our suffering is the result of this obsession with the self. So I make sure that every day I spend all of my time, whatever amount of time I spend on myself, I want to spend 10 times that amount on something and someone else. So if I spend an hour at the gym, that means I got to spend 10 hours on my wife and on doing something else for somebody else. That's why I do all of these shows. That's why I write all of these books. That's why I do all of this stuff. But then I realized even that was selfish, because that's not what you want. That's what I want. So now I got to do more things that are IMRs. Remember at the beginning of the Clarinomics, for everybody that's part of the Clarinomics program, remember I promised you guys I was going to do IMRs. You guys remember that, what that was? Immediate measurable results. Immediate measurable results. So I want to do IMRs for my wife. Immediate measurable results. So I knew my wife had left her lunch yesterday. So yesterday I just showed up unannounced at her job and I brought her lunch. Immediate measurable results. Then I dropped her out, picked her up, came home, did last night. I went to the store, brought all the stuff for the ingredients for dinner. The intent was to actually fix the dinner, but I got caught up with my shows and stuff. But again, the goal, but the intention, the mindset, immediate measure results. Today, I'm doing laundry. While my wife, while I'm doing this, doing one-on-ones, immediate measurable results. And I'm writing them down. So that way, when my brain tells me, Negro, you ain't done shiznits. Because remember, the brain will only bring you evidence to support the fake you. Let me say that again. The brain will only send evidence to support the existing belief. Let me say that again. I don't know if you got it. The brain will only allow thoughts into your head that supports the false, fake you. Let me say that again. You didn't get it, brother. You didn't get it, sister. The thoughts you got in your head right now, get rid of them. Because that's what's killing you. That's what's destroying you. That is what is not allowing you to oscillate and vibrate in a single standing column of waveform energy. Every thought that comes into your head is sent there to destroy you. Because the brain is a filter. It filters out God. It doesn't filter him. God comes in through intuition, not reason and logic. Your brain is not your friend, brother. Your brain is not your friend. So therefore, if you're not intuitive, now if you are the number 7 in your life path, or you're the number 11, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because by birthright, you have a divine connection with God. See, I'm not a 7 nor an 11. So I don't know. I had to work on my intuition. I'm not naturally intuitive. I'm a 9. I'm a 6. I'm a 3. None of those numbers are intuitive numbers. So everything I do is based upon reason and logic. That's why I like biology and science. Give me some proof. That's why me and Dalton Thomas hang out. Me and Dalton Thomas, we are best friends because we both need proof. We need reason and logic. But we have to develop our intuition. And by the grace and mercy of God, I have and I am doing that. So I need you to do the same thing, but if you want to be authentic, because the word authentic means that you don't live in your head. That means thoughts come into your head and you do exactly what the Bible says. Bring every thought into captivity and see if it is authentic. See if it is of God. See if it's taking you in the direction of good. Seeing if it's aligning with your dream, with your destiny, with your dear Kenea, the triple D's. See if your thought is a triple D. If it's not, exit stage left. And I guarantee you, you're going to get rid of pretty much 99.99999% of your thoughts. You got to live from your heart, not your head. Why? According to the website heartmath.org, the heart is your brain, not your brain. Your brain is a computer. It's a filter. But your heart is 100 times more powerful than your brain. Your heart is an amplifier of God's voice. Let me say that again. Your heart amplifies your God's voice. Let me say that again. Your heart amplifies your niche. That's why you feel it in your heart, but you override it with your head. Your niche is in your heart. You don't find your niche. You be it. Be you. Dare to be you or die a copy. You want to find out what you want, what you call to do? Get out of your head. Get in your heart. Get out of your head and get into your heart. How do you do that, Brother Will? Every time you get a thought that doesn't make you laugh until your belly hurts, get rid of it. Let me make sure you understand. The secret to success, brothers and sisters, is learning how to use your intuition instead of your reason and logic. As God is my witness, that is the secret. See, I intuitively know how to treat my wife. I don't need no damn book. I don't need no freaking Reverend Dr. Bishop. I don't need no damn psychologist. I don't need no therapist. God wrote in my heart The Bible says he's not written his laws on tablets of stone any longer. He's written them on the minds and the hearts of his people. If you can make, if you can send the intuition from your heart, and if you can put it in your head, booyah, you're unstoppable. No weapon formed against you will ever prosper. All who rise up against you will fall. You will walk through the valley of shadow and death, and you will fear no evil. Everything that you can ask or think, God wishes to do exceedingly above anything that you can ask or think. But the problem is, you act amiss. You act or you ask to reap it upon yourself, according to the book of James. What does that mean? You're freaking self-absorbed. You're operating in your selfish self instead of your authentic self, because your authentic self says, do something for somebody else. But your selfish self says, oh, hell no. Nobody did nothing for me, so I ain't doing nothing for nobody else. Oh, my man treat me like trash, I'm going to treat him like trash. Oh, he can go out and stay out till 2. I can go out and stay out with the girls till 3. Whatever my man can do, I can do better. That's the selfish self. But the true authentic self says, return good for evil. Oh, hell no, I ain't doing that. What I look like? But that's the that's God talking to you, brother. That's God talking to you. God is telling you, know. I know. I know. I don't believe. I know what I'm supposed to be doing in my marriage. Why didn't I do it? Ego. Selfish. Obsession with the self. Now I've turned my obsession with myself to my dedication to my wife. So every time I want to do something for myself, I do something for my wife. Every time I want to call some bimbo, I call my wife. Every time I want to text some hoochie, I text my wife. Every time I want to think about some girl with a big booty, I think about my wife's big booty. I don't know if you understand, brothers and sisters. Do the opposite of what your brain tells you to do. You'll find your true, authentic self. Because a thought is coming into your head right now. Do the opposite of that thought. That's God. See, I've been doing that, brothers and sisters, and it's been working. Now, do we have ups and downs? Absolutely. Because sometimes, again, 5-second rule kicks in. God shows up for 5 seconds and then he's out. There's a book that breaks it all down. Or you can read the book by Isaiah, the book called The Isaiah Effect. If you want to get the biology behind it, if you like me and you need some scientific proof, by the way, I don't play that. Look it up. It's called The Isaiah Effect. People dare you to read that book, The Isaiah Effect, by Greg Braden, I think his name is. And then there's another book, again, called The 5-Second Rule. The 5-Second Rule, my brothers and sisters. 5 seconds is all you got. On the internet, they say you only got 3. Now, there's a few books out there that's called The 5-Second Rule. And what I'm talking about has to do with transforming your confidence or overriding, in my words, if I would have wrote the book, overriding the false you with the real you. This is the science and the biology of biological or behavioral modification. This is what I'm doing to change my behavior. So, number one, let me tell you 3 things as we close to answer question number one. Now, there's 15 questions, and obviously, I'm not going to just give you those 15 questions unless you're part of the Clarinomics Club. So these 15 questions guarantee to bring about clarity in your life. 15 questions. Now, there's 3 things today that can assist you with the first question. Now, this is how you discover your niche. How do you discover your niche? You discover yourself, the authentic self, because your niche is yourself. So I get paid to do what again? I get paid for being myself. I want to teach you to get paid. I don't want you to do nothing, but I want you to be something. because you're a human being. You're not a human doing. So right now, you're doing too much. That's why you ain't got time to be nothing. Can you really have anything you want? Because if you really have anything you want, you will realize there is no you. According to Galatians 5, what is it, 20-something? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives inside of me. So therefore, if that is true, what I want is what he wants. So I asked, like Yahushua, at the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. So in the area of wealth, Father, I want to be a billionaire. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. Father, I want every organ in my body to function according to his purpose. Nevertheless, not your will, but not my will, but your will. Thankfully, I already know that the will of God is for me, according to 1 John 3, it says, God wishes above all things that you prosper. God wishes that you be healthy. Well, actually, let me look it up. So that way I can give God. Now, remember the book, 5-Second Rule, if you want to read that to get more information on how the enemy steals the word of God that comes into your heart. And he steals this word so that way it don't manifest in your life. See, God wishes that I prosper. He wishes health, even as my soul prospers. God wishes that I prosper, be in health, even as my soul prospers. That's health, that's wealth, health, and wisdom right there. Then God says when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. God says that it's better to marry than to burn. Okay? So I got proof that what I am doing, wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship, biblically is God's will. Because I got God's word. And God honors his word above his own name. So I know I ain't got to go ask the Reverend Dr. Bishop. I ain't got to ask no freaking psychologist. I ain't got to read no books. I don't have to go nowhere to find God's will because he put it in his book. He put it in my heart. I know intuitively that poverty is not of God. It's just something that's not right about it. See, now, a man walking around with a little sign saying we'll work for food. Something I don't know. That do you know that you are an angel? Do you know that you're the son of God? Do you know that you're made in the image and likeness of God? Do you know that you're a royal priest? And you're walking around, not that anything wrong with it, if that's true, how you want to express, expose, and expand yourself. But God wants you to be wealthy, healthy, wise, and in a great relationship. So I know, so that if you're not doing that, then you're not doing God's will. So my job is to understand, I'm going to take my dream, my destiny, and my dear Keneal, and I'm going to unfold it into my own life. And the way that I'm going to unfold my dream into my life is that I'm going to realize that I can have anything that I want because what I want and what God wants is the same thing. So Philippians 4:13, I think it said that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So you need to understand that. Number one, I can. Number one, I can. Can I have a good marriage? Yes, I can. Can I make enough money to be to provide for my wife, my children? The Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So can I make enough money to leave for my children and my grandchildren? Damn, Skippy. Can I be healthy? The Bible says that, do you not know that your body is the temple? The Bible says that bodily exercise profiteth little. It didn't say it didn't profit. It's nothing. So my body, the focus on my physical health should not be more important than my focus on my spiritual. Because the Bible says that it does profit you, but it only profits you a little. So Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. So I understand that my physical fitness is important. But it's not more important than the kingdom's business. So number one is I gotta know that I can do what's in my heart. Number two, I know that it's God's will for me to do what's in my heart, not in my head. Very important. God puts he wrote it in your heart, brothers. So your heart got to override your head. You got to live from your heart. I know intuitively what is right and what is wrong in my heart. I know. I don't need to read no books. I intuitively know And so now that I know this, I need to change my obsession with myself to my dedication to someone else. Number three. If you can do those three basic things, that's going to help you do question number one. You got 14 more questions to go. Where would or what would your perfect day look like, brothers? Can you answer that question? Any areas of wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship? Not in that order. I'm just so used to saying it, it just rolls off the tongue. So really, it's relationships first. So what would your perfect relationship look like? Write it down. What would your perfect relationship with God look like? Write it down. What would your perfect relationship with your wife or your husband? Write it down. What's your perfect relationship with everybody in your life? Write it down. What's your perfect relationship? That's the relationship aspect. What's your perfect wisdom? In other words, you are an expert in blank. I am an expert in helping people find their niche. My niche is to help you find your niche. Now, I thought my niche was to be a life coach. I thought my niche was to be a teacher. I thought my niche was to be a personal trainer. I thought my niche was to be my wife's, you know, freaking life coach. I didn't know. I should have known. Actually, I did know, but I chose to put coaching over relationshiping. I chose that. I can't say I didn't know because I did. I made a conscious effort when I met my wife. I told her, I'm going to become an online guru. We both thought that would be great, so because that way we have money to live our dreams and do what we want. I should have said, I want to be the best husband on earth. I want to treat you like you're the only woman on earth. I want to make you feel loved. I want to make you feel loved, valued, respected, cherished, esteemed. After that, then I want to focus on my relationship. Or I want to first focus on my relationship with God first, actually. Then I want to first focus on my relationship with you. That's what I should have said. Then I'm going to think about my health. Then I'm going to think about the money. So I had the right things, the right ingredients, but I put them in the wrong order. So I had the right ingredients, but I put them in the wrong order. How about you? I think you probably did the same thing. Because if not, you would be being your niche. You would not be doing your job. When you find your niche, you lose your job. Because your job is providing you what your niche should be providing you. Your job gives you a feeling of worth, does it not? Your job gives you finances to buy the stuff that you need, does it not? Your job gives you a place to go to avoid the stresses in your life. Your job is your coping mechanism for the absence of your producing mechanism or your life-sustaining mechanism. It is my job as a niche finder to show you that who you are being is more important and more valuable than what you are doing. Because you are a human being that's really a spiritual being trapped inside of a human body doing worldly shiznits. That's not our true authentic self. So the most powerful realization is that you can make, this is the most powerful realization that you can find, that you can discover, that you can wrap your brain around. The most powerful thing on earth is that, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now that I know that, now that I know that I can do all things, okay, let me decide. Let me make a decision on those things. Since I can do them, since there are no limitations, there's no limitations and there's no negative consequences for me falling in love with my wife, for me elevating my wife, for me cherishing and caring and doing all the things I'm supposed to be doing. There's no limits. So for now, when you guys see my wife, y'all going to see her with a big smile on her face because that's my job. And I take my job seriously because that's my niche. So tomorrow, we'll probably do like maybe two or three of these questions, and the rest we'll save for, you know, the people that are serious. That's part of the Clarinomics Club. So tomorrow we're going to do a question number two of the 15 questions. And again, this is my next book. Man, I'm working on like 5 books at the same time. I'm still trying to wrap up my behavioral modification book. I'm working on this book. And what was the other book that I was doing? I forgot the name of it. I got so much stuff going on. But guess what? I love it because this is my niche. My brothers and my sisters, it's time for all of us to wake up and become our true, authentic self. Because that's your niche. Your niche is to dare to be you. You're going to either be original or you're going to die a copy. Since there's only one you, why would you want to be somebody else when you can be yourself? You have immense worth and value. Please continue to oscillate and vibrate, or move in the direction of oscillating and vibrating as a single sterling column of waveform energy. How do you do that? Get out of your head and live in your heart. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Especially shout out to my wife, babe. Thank you for tuning in today. I love everybody. I appreciate you guys. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. May the Ruach, instead of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now. But no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the pot. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You going us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1-2-1-2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. A 1-2-1-2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Still dreaming, man. Still dreaming.